I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No.
Good evening and welcome. In case you're locked in a prison camp with no idea what tortures are coming to you next, this one is called the Trundlecast. Our attic-based After Dark delve into that ever-widening gash in the fabric of the afterlife. Located where? Why? At none other than the Trundle Manor. So strap on your goggles, throw on your proton pack, and hop into that Ecto-1 that just pulled up outside, because this time, we're going on a little ghost hunt.
I am not the one who drove you into dark and lost. You cannot decipher.
Welcome back to Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, where I'll give you the answers to last week's question. To reiterate, the question was, what famous play that was later turned into a movie did Boris Karloff co-star in, featuring a joke about his disfigured character's face, why he looks like Boris Karloff? And the answer is Arsenic and Old Lace. In the film, the murderous brother's part was played by Raymond Massey. After Karloff's turn on Broadway, Bela Lugosi played the part for a very long time, touring with the production, even coming to Pittsburgh at one point. Thank you, Trundle Files. I hope that wasn't too hard for you. Join us at the end of this podcast for the next question in Velda's Movie Trivia Vault. Stay tuned.
I got the old crud and give it a new rub. I am trying to kill your ignorance, your arrogance, your lack of sense.
Welcome, Trundle Files, to another Trundle Cast. I'm Mr. Arm, and with me, as always, is Velda von Minx.
Hello.
The muse and everything else of the manor. This week we've got an unusual recording. We promised before that this might have something to do with ghosts, so what we're going to do is play a little cat and mouse game with the audio. We're going to listen to a section, play a section for you, and Velda and I are going to go over what we just heard. So let's see what we can pick up from this. You want to tell them a little bit about what was going on there?
Yeah, basically, a few weeks ago, we had somebody come over who was going to use the house for some filming. And being somebody who had never experienced paranormal things ever, according to him, from the moment he walked in, he was basically hearing the voice of the previous owner of our house, Charlie, who killed himself in the house. And the entire time he was here, he was feeling things and having a conversation with him. And so he left and then was furiously texting you.
Right.
And ended up coming back around midnight to take care of this and see what was happening there. So this is a strange drunken, it became later drunken, interlude with this kid. Some of it sounds very emotional and weird, and we had heard things we never thought we would hear, and some of it sounded like complete bullshit, so we don't know what to make of it.
No EMFs or EMPs or whatever you call that where we're recording ghosts, but we're recording someone who said that he was channeling ghosts. That might be the part that you're wanting to listen to. A lot of this actually did resonate with us as residents of the manor, and we'll see if it resonates with you, and keep an eye out for some of the things during your next visit to Trundle Manor. This first section is a little bit quiet, so bear with me. I had the wrong microphone on, but it's still pretty good. It's got the introduction, so we'll play that for you. We'll talk a little bit, and we'll get right back to playing some more. So here it goes.
I don't know what to choose. You're blaming me for everything, and no matter what I do, I am not the bad guy. I'm trying to help
Jesse.
You out.
No. If only you would let me. How do you mean? Talk. Pull that mic closer to you, fuckers.
This is his communication hub somehow.
That's yours too.
And it's because of the structure of the house. You know, the center panel was shaped.
Yeah. Whoa. What, this house is this room was the only room that they decided not to insulate or do kind of anything to. The only thing they did to this room was paint the ceiling.
Part of the wall is knocked out over there. You can see. I mean, it gets really hot in the summer, really cold in the winter.
But yeah, this is one of the few original rooms as far as plaster goes and all that kind of stuff. So maybe Charlie likes this for that specific reason. Does that make any sense?
Where did he die?
He died in our bedroom, right in the floor right below this. That's what we were told anyway.
Yeah. Charlie died sitting up next to our bed, essentially.
On my side of the bed, which we can show you that, too.
On Velda's side of the bed. And,
we need a chair in
there. It was told to us that it was so messy in the house that they couldn't even get into the door. Because the fire chief was kind of a bigger dude.
And they didn't see him the first time they had to come back.
Yeah, he poked his head in, didn't see anything, kept going, and eventually came back and found Charlie. But do me a favor before we get too far into it. I know that you're feeling all hot and heavy. I don't want to interrupt you or any of that shit.
We should introduce what we're doing now.
Introduce yourselves.
He's anonymous. We have an anonymous friend.
Oh, we're doing anonymous. Mm-hmm. And...
Corey.
And
Anonymous
Corey.
And Corey.
We've got some new friends here at Trevor Manor. Yeah, they just, I got a call or a text message, instant message today about doing some sort of a video thing at Trevor Manor because they knew that we had unusual things and could they see the place, and they were bringing the director over and all this junk. And without giving out too much of what any of it is, I reluctantly said okay, because we are inundated with horrible things that we're working on at the moment. But one of the members ended up getting some strange feelings about the things that are going on at Trundle Manor. And some of them are quite dark and quite disturbing. And if you wouldn't mind like telling us what you think, what you
right
felt
now.
As soon as you came in, that would probably be the best thing. Just give us like a heads up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Anton said, I'm a director. I have no background in paranormal or anything like that that I would kind of just consider weird and off. Like, I've always been a heavy skeptic of stuff like that, and I've had some weird things happen to me in the past, but I've always really been the one to skepticize that and just convince myself it's craziness. Entering into Toronto Manor tonight, though, immediately what I heard was my head was filled with voices, and one voice specifically, the voice initially said, you have to find it.
You have to find it.
Okay, I think we're a little bit more ourselves now. We just got a little bit of booze into us.
We need to settle into some nice booze, darling.
Wow, what a thing that we just listened to. I mean, this is so exciting already. This just started out, and the guy is anonymous. So, you know, now we're just intrigued immediately because we're not allowed to fucking say his name. And I'm blown away. I mean, that's balls to not actually use your name. You know,
I think
and
he
I
was
just,
embarrassed.
He must have been. Oh, wait. What?
No.
That
son of a bitch.
He was just. He's just too cool. Too cool for school.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yes, you were. Okay. So, that's the intro. I don't know what to say about that. It's just the very beginning, but we had to jump back in so we could raise the volume and not blow out your eardrums.
Yeah.
So that was. You know, him and his production buddy actually just came back. The production buddy's the guy that drove him up.
He was a skeptic, the production buddy.
Yeah, he was the resident skeptic of the room.
Yes.
And, you know, I didn't really know how to start that whole thing. So anyway, the microphone was so low because I was using I was using the goddamn computer microphone and forgot to plug in the other ones. So
it gets better.
Yeah, it does. So let's let it get better just a little bit more, and we'll play the next section.
Yep.
Here we go.
You'll know it when you see it. You'll know it when you see it. And it was very insistent that I needed to find something, and there was no other talk. It was just the insistence that I had to find an object that was in the house. And if you know the manor, there's millions of objects in the house. And that's quite the obstacle. I mean, there's no more proverbial needle in a haystack than finding an object in Trundle Manor. Anyways, I was told to find that, but the entire time I'm being gestured to look at a ventriloquist dummy that is on top of a curio cabinet in the what I would say would be the dining room area of Trundle Manor.
What happened was this to me, this like unfolded. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this unfolded because after you were here, and because I remember instances, I remember things happening, but after you were here and you finally got back to me and told me all about, you know, how you felt, then I remembered how everything transpired and just little things that happened, because you were very calm and, you know, I just thought that you were a brooding director when you...
One of the things that I was told initially was that anxiety was going to rid everything that I was experiencing. So if there was any anxiety by anyone in the room introduced, that it would immediately cancel out everything that was going on. So that was one of the first conversations that this entity that we haven't revealed yet was letting me know, that we can't have anxiety and we can't have exploitation of what's going on. I just have to listen and help. And once again, as I prefaced, this is not anything that I do, am associated with, study, anything like that. This is just me walking into a house and experiencing something weird. But I'll continue in the fact that I was gestured to look at this ventriloquist dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, I had, I remember my mom bought it from the JCPenney catalog. It was a Charlie McCarthy dummy. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, it was a ventriloquist doll. So I knew that the dummy's head was Charlie McCarthy. And, like, it just, whatever was talking to me was telling me to look at that. And I looked at Anton and I said, it's the history of the house. Is there any ghosts or anything like that? And I think he gave me the normal tourist answer that he would give me. Is, no, there's nothing weird going on. There's no weird shit. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, well, who died in the house? And he said, well...
Oh, you knew right away.
A guy that committed suicide in our bedroom, that put a bag over his head, filled the house up with gasoline, and blew his face off with a shotgun. Anton, if you remember when you told me that, there's no shock on my face. Like, it wasn't anything where it's like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Which a lot of people do when we tell them
just
that.
Just affirmation.
It's a very little known story because we don't talk about Charlie readily. It's not just like part of the tour.
We didn't tell them it's Charlie yet.
Yeah.
We didn't tell them it was Charlie yet.
Oh, shit.
I said, what was his name? He said, Charlie. And that's when I realized I've been looking at this dummy that was Charlie McCarthy. And, I mean, you could go on both sides of the fence, but what's telling me is he was telling me his name. And at that point, he really started going on a conversation. Do you have anything else, or you want me to go ahead?
Oh, no, keep going.
I got skeptical quick because I'm an atheist. I don't believe in things like this. Like, this isn't something I hold any faith into. And I said, you got to prove this. And he said, ask for the picture. And Anton, if you want to continue from there, I'd like to hear your POV from what happened when I asked you for that.
Well, you know, and again, this was me not being immediately thinking, because whenever we give tours, sometimes, you know, we just talk about Charlie, and it's not that often, but sometimes people ask what happened in the house. And
seemed like a normal question, basically.
Yeah, it just seemed like a very normal question. So I said, oh, here's a picture of Charlie. The only one that we have is him sitting on the stoop. And
before that, I asked you to see the picture of Charlie. Like,
well, it didn't, that's what I'm saying, is it didn't even register. It wasn't like...
Like, oh, sure, here it is.
Yeah, because we do so many different things.
It's kind of on display.
Yeah, for all I know, you know, people checked online, or they read a review, or some kind of bullshit where, you know, whatever. But it honestly didn't even register with me when you said it until you started texting me afterwards.
Yeah, and that to me was the proof. Like, that was what I asked him to prove to me. Like, okay, how are you real? And he said,
well, after hearing it, after, you know, hearing you say that, after that, it just seemed fucking bizarre that all the things transpired the way they did.
Right.
And I assure you, before this, I found out about Trundle Manor like 2 hours before we got here.
Which is really
the only
funny
thing I researched was the MTV Cribs thing that you guys did, which is awesome. But I didn't do any research.
So this has been the craziest night for you, basically.
Paranormally, craziest, no.
But, well, no, paranormally, that's what I mean.
But yeah, this is it. And it doesn't stop there. Anton, you want to continue? You're a pretty good storyteller.
Yeah, I don't know. Now you're throwing it at me, and I'm going to stumble all the fuck over this place. Yeah, we like to get people drunk. Half of this podcast is just saying that there's a trundle break, which just means it's time to take a drink.
But can I smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yes. This is a great podcast. Even,
give him the horn. This is
our... There's an asher right here. I saw the ashes.
That's right,
there.
The 30s asher.
That's either correct. Use that one.
Well, basically, they left, and Anton, Mr. Arm, got all these texts about this, and then there was a phone call involved, and he had to come back. Yep. You had to come back.
Yep, you're going very fast.
I'm sorry.
We had a lot of work to do, so we just
slow down. going too fast.
We just kind of dove into the whole thing. And I kept getting these texts. I'm like, fuck, my phone's dying. Why does he keep texting me? And he's telling me all about these ghost things and Charlie and what he felt. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
And we never hear this from anybody. We even had people that are friends who are ghost hunters, quote unquote.
Right. We actually had ghost hunters come through Trundle Man.
That's the point.
Yeah.
What I was told tonight is the point is if you exploit it in any way in a physical world, or if you're selfish with it, or if you're trying to get notoriety with this.
Yeah.
Notoriety. I'm slurring.
That's all right.
but if you try to get notoriety, can we have Trundle Break?
Yes.
Trundle Break.
Yes.
Yep.
You really did know what you get yourself into by putting me on a microphone. But
it's golden.
The point is,
you're good.
There was three conversations that happened before I left here with me and Charlie.
Yeah.
The one was exploitation. Like, this can't be, like, he's cool with the podcast right now. Like, it's cool because, like, this, and I'll go into explain, like, who Charlie is.
Well, I'm fairly worried about that because the podcast thing is a little bit newer than everything else, but... I mean, that's one of the problems that we always had with a lot of the places that, like, have ghost tours and come stay at our place because we have ghosts. I'm like, that's kind of fucked up. You know, maybe you just enjoy the things that are there and make something better out of it. We've never advertised that we have Charlie. We've never advertised that we have a ghost, you know.
Because, like, it's not a fake haunted house. It's not a dude in a ghost costume. If it's a real person who died, then that's very exploitative.
Yeah, and you know, we've never been into that whole idea of, let's do ghost tours at Toronto Manor.
No, never.
Although, maybe what was causing some issues is that we were getting the idea that, you know, maybe it's okay to do, like, a podcast talking about ghosts, or maybe it's okay. Because we've been listening to a few ghost podcasts.
Yeah.
You know? Right now, I can let you know that this is cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Charlie thinks this is really cool.
Good. Oh, I'm glad.
This is really cool. Cause he's
good.
And, like, I need to get into the story about Charlie a little bit to just,
yes,
like, explain him. But Charlie, as you explained to me and as he's explained to me, he was a hoarder. He had no respect from his family. He had no respect from anyone. He was kind of a loner. He had no purpose in life. And that's one of the reasons that drove him to kill himself. And because of that, like, when he died, what he told me, and this is, if you believe it or not, that he got a job when he died. And he was punished by not being able to cross over and just be accepted in death and just go into this primordial pool of spirits and just chill with all his loved ones. But now he has a job and he has to bring people here in the same way that you, Anton, bring people here to show them relics of the past to help them accept the fact that they're dead. And up until a period in time that he can't explain time to me. He can't explain time or physical space orientation, spatial shit, like he just doesn't get it.
I wonder if that has something to do with his Mensa status. The fact that
he was also in Mensa.
Slightly a genius, and a lot of geniuses have some issues with
he
space
was picked
and time.
For this. Yeah. He was driven to kill himself to be put in the role that he is in now.
Okay.
He's telling me that before he died, he was going through what he described as schizophrenia, but what he's describing is the same thing I'm going through here. Is he was hearing voices that were telling him the master plan of how he is going to gain his importance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His importance is just as important as you are, bringing people here to find joy in what people would consider junk and ugly and disgusting. And you bring happiness to that. That's what he does. And he is like your polar opposite on the cosmic end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And you had to be here. You had to be, because he was a hoarder. I don't know if we've got into this yet, but this house was just a wreck. Like, it was fucking disgusting. Like, they had and we haven't talked about this yet, but they had hazmat crews here, right?
Yeah, we actually thought that one of the issues with the house,
they were going to demolish it, right?
Yeah, that was part of it.
I don't know this. I'm telling you this.
I don't know this.
I have someone beside me telling me that they were going to demolish the house because of a structural deficiency.
Well, here's one of the main things that I'm still not completely positive about. This house was filled with natural gas. Before Charlie took his life, he turned on all the gas in the household.
Which is how they found him.
And, you know, the crews discovered that there, was a gas leak.
I see a lot of masks.
Well, they were fire department people, so I'm sure that they had some sort of a respiratory
Sometimes
system.
Sometimes the hazmat is related to the fire department. My dad's a fireman.
But Charlie filled up the house, and he took his life with a shotgun. And in our eyes, the idea was that maybe
with the blast.
Maybe he wanted that shotgun to activate the blast in the house, and maybe take the whole house with him, as opposed to just leaving his mess.
I have a message for you.
Yes.
He did do that for that reason. Because
okay.
what he was experiencing, what I'm experiencing right now, was overwhelming for him. Mm-hmm. And he thought the only way to eliminate that was eliminate this space on mm-hmm. Earth. And by destroying the house, he thought that he would eliminate that and no one would have to go through it. But after he died, he realized the importance of him having to go.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so huge. Because that's something we speculated on for a very long time.
Yeah, it's been on our minds for most of our lives living at Toronto Manor.
We put two and two together with that.
Yeah.
But
they're discussing things. But
I have my production assistant, my assistant director, my second aide, like my right hand man, like this is Corey Corson.
I thought you were just gonna call me your assistant. We're gonna get pissed.
this is Corey. He's the right man. But he's a eternal skeptic in all this. Like,
I'm glad that you're
up,
here
I told
too.
Him what we're going
it's
here
good to
on.
Have a skeptic in the room.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's just like it's the weirdest conversation. I get a text that's like, "Hey, what are you doing right now? Where are you?" I was like, "I'm at my dad's house." And he was like, "Oh fuck, I need a ride." And I was like, "Oh, for what?" And he's like, "And then he's like, I'm gonna call you, and what I'm about to tell you, you know, you have to keep completely to yourself. Don't tell anybody." And they called him. Yeah, and talking about it.
Yeah, I think we're keeping it quiet.
You're the one that's been talking about it. anyways, fucking. Yeah, and so and he explains it to me, and I was just like, I mean, all right. I mean, I'm up for the adventure.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, wait, because if it's true, that's awesome, and if it's not, then, you know, that still did something to me. But it was just, it was wild since we got here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you're a skeptic until you experience it yourself.
Right.
You know, so since I haven't before or yet, just kind of waiting for if it happens to me. But at the same time, I do not deny the fact that other people are having experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I do not deny the fact that he's having real things. Like,
you know, speak to my character. Please tell the people who are listening to this podcast, whoever it may be, who this person who's talking is, who's going to be.
Yeah, prove to us that he's not just some quack that does this
Deep
everywhere. This
is
kooky son of a bitch. Who knows?
Is fucking.
You're gonna call me Deep Throat. You don't know from experience.
We just saw an example of Deep Throat in New York, Pennsylvania. What?
What? What are you talking about?
He said Deep Throat.
Trundle break.
Yeah, he'd want to. What the hell are you talking about? Poor
Trundle break.
Right. Across the room.
Yeah, oh, I'm driving. Ring. Yeah,
oh, right. Linda Lovelace display at the Museum of Sex in New York.
Right.
Deep Throat.
I was just making a joke.
Thank you.
Why'd you make it such a big deal?
Because they were.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
All right. They're going to go pee. He tried to hide that, but they're going to go pee.
I mean, if you want to talk about the character of my friend there.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about him, because I don't know you. I only met him today.
So,
for all I know, this is some way to bilk money out of Trundle Manor.
The joke is
that Trundle Manor doesn't have money to bilk out of, so enjoy!
No, not at all, not at all. This is as random and impromptu for us as it is for you guys.
No, I love this. You know, he's so adamant about it, too.
Yeah. No,
like,
he,
you can
like,
see him
he, like,
losing his mind, not in a bad way,
that's
but like,
like
freaking
out. In his personality, like when he does, like let's say, like we're doing a shoot or something,
right?
Fucking like once he's got that idea in his head or something for like directing, it's like go on that. Like he does not stop thinking about anything but that until he understands it. He knows
that's
it
a lot like me,
and like and until he 100% is like. like aware of all the ins and outs of it, you know? And so like this happened to him and it's never happened before, I guess. And so like it triggered that obsession.
Never before. So, like this is the very first time
that's
ever.
As far as I know. Right. I mean, we've only been working together for a couple months, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just, it's nuts. But at the same time, like this is not him at all. Yeah.
Right.
When it comes to like anything like this. I don't think we've ever even mentioned the word ghosts ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any of the time that we've ever spent together. So it's very random, and it's the last thing I thought he was going to call me about. Like, he said, hey, I need to take me to Switzerland. Like, the first thing I thought was like,
weed?
No, not that. But like he left.
He did say something about acid.
I know he went here earlier today.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, oh, maybe he
said something nameless. Like, I did a lot of drugs tonight. Did a lot of crimes.
I wish you would have shared some with us.
Good.
You know, it's one of those things where, look, we were texting back and forth, and you know, he's telling me these things, and I'm like, look, the only way that you're going to get the fuck back in this house to do whatever the hell you think that you're going to do is if you come on the podcast. And that is as selfish as I can possibly be, because, you know, I can live with my ghosts and I love my ghosts and I feel bad for Charlie and I feel bad for all these things. But I just wanted to get this captured because my brain can't retain a lot of things. And without me recording this right now, it'll be this weird distant memory within a week. And it's just... It's horrible. It's horrible. And I don't want it to be that way, but I wanted to you know, show to you that, like, me doing the podcast thing isn't a selfish thing. We don't make money. We don't fucking do anything. But I just thought it was such a great Trundle story that when I get to be so senile that this, you know, won't exist at all, I can actually listen to it and hear your voice and remember it, and it'll bring shit back. So this was just so intense to me. What he's been doing, that, you know, I wanted to retain it, man. Wow, that was a whole fucking lot of me talking over everybody.
It gets worse from here.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, that's one issue that I've always had at Trundle Manor. And every time I listen to a podcast, I think, oh, good, I just stepped all over Velda's lines.
You know.
That's fun. I just did it again.
I just wanted to point out how immediately when this kid came in, he started asking about if there was a previous owner and where is the picture instead of do you happen to have a picture of him?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first thing that struck me when he started describing his encounter, that immediately... He was asking things that he had no basis for asking, really.
Yeah, and the whole thing was weird for us when he came back, because it was like he was fishing. You know, I felt like I was on one of those ghost programs.
The TV psychic. Yeah,
the TV psychic. So, is there John in the audience? Oh, John died horribly, right? No, John died in a hospital bed. That's what I meant.
Right,
and
yeah.
It was an H. I saw an H, and that was hospital bed, not horribly. I'm so sorry. And I felt like I was getting a lot of that.
But I also want to point out, if anybody didn't catch it, what this kid was saying is that Charlie was apparently meant to kill himself. That was he was driven to it, he said. And
I almost punched him in the face for that context.
That was a bit crass. Like, maybe there was an easier way to say what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
But his point was that Charlie, being somebody who collected in a hoarding type situation, felt as though he didn't have a purpose in life until he died and he got basically a job in the afterlife. And if you didn't catch it, apparently he gives tours to dead people the same way I give tours to live people.
Which, yeah, that's so huge.
That's the biggest takeaway I have from this entire experience, really. Is it huge?
It's so huge.
That's the thing I want to call into the ghost podcast and tell them, like, hey, maybe there's more to death than we think.
Yeah, that would be kind of good.
Yeah.
Because it's so huge. I think that was my best part, is when he channeled Charlie for the very first time and Velda's reaction was, that's so huge.
And that was not me trying to...
He wasn't naked. I mean, his penis was only out for the beginning.
I wasn't trying to hit on anybody in the room, and I sound like a complete twat. Basically, I was trying to be supportive while being drunk, and now I just sound like an idiot.
Well, you know, I guess I'm playing the skeptic at all times, because I didn't necessarily believe this guy, but I really wanted to. And
I'm always the one who lives in horror stories and paranormal shit anyway, so I'm happy to believe I'll look like the idiot. Who cares?
Next up will be, I have it listed as channeling. So ooh. I think we're going to hear the first instance of him. Well, we already heard that. But more of the instances of our special guest channeling Charlie. So here it goes. Let him off, babe.
Oh, see you in a minute.
Charlie wants you to interview him.
There's no way Charlie's going to have anything to say to me.
Charlie has never got a chance to talk to you because he can't see you. And when you talk, he can hear you. And because I translate that in my brain and he can read my thoughts.
So you want to be...
Fuck. So, holy shit.
So you want Charlie to take you over, right?
I will essentially act as an interpreter here. And...
Just don't start shaking and foaming at the mouth.
No, this is very natural. Like, and I want to explain to anyone that's listening that this is as natural as me having this conversation with you right now. When I'm talking to him, I could feel my vocal cords move. I could feel the vibrations hit my eardrums. It's not like you're thinking something in your head. It's like there's another person in this room that you were actively talking to.
Okay.
And if you're pouring more of that rum, you know I want some more.
Rum is a direct lubricant for the go-between of the afterlife and the hereafter.
That sounds like a crock of hooey.
Yeah, right?
I'm willing to buy into it.
You're not going to turn me down, though, so that's fine.
Okay, so Charlie is telling me right now that this podcast is the coolest thing that's ever happened in his house.
Aw, that's
this
cool.
This is cool. Like, he's never
it's
had...
so
like,
new.
He's never had, like, people, like...
Neat.
New age type stuff. Like he was never Facebook. He was never Twitter. Like he was never cool. So like this is cool to him, and like he wants to.
Well, he probably didn't even know what Twitter or any of that was, and I'm hoping that we can get him out there. Yeah,
he felt excluded from that because that wasn't like a mode of communication that he got before he died.
Yeah.
So like he never got to be the cool dude, and like now he feels like the cool dude, and he's like kind of prodding me on my shoulder right now, like, get Anton to ask me some questions.
Now here's what's even weirder. Like I'm gonna lay this out there for you, is the fact that you know, Twitter and that stuff might have been around when Charlie died, but the thing was, if he didn't know anything about it, it makes sense that he'd be into it. Because most of the people that I know that are shut-ins, that don't do anything, I have some friends, well, quote-unquote friends, from high school and junior high that they were complete dorks and complete nerds, and they were shut. Like, they spent most of their time with their mother, and, you know, my parents are my best friends, too, so I kind of tried to relate to them. You know, I didn't want them to feel like they were alone, even though I was a little bit more outspoken. And so I'd try to make friends with these, you know, underappreciated people. And I just recently, you know, maybe within the last year.
Can I stop you?
Yep.
He just had an epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, always said is, that's why it's you. Yeah. That's why it's you.
Well, I probably would have been friends with Charlie if he was my neighbor. I mean, that's...
You would have. You were friends with Mary.
Yeah, I have no issue with social status. I don't give two shits who you are or what your status
right now
is.
That you would have appreciated what he had.
I probably
Definitely.
Would have. We lament quite often and almost all the time the fact that they took stuff out
There's
of here
so
with
much
us,
shit you missed out
without
on.
Us. I don't want to hear it.
So much shit you
tell,
missed out.
Tell him to
shit.
Shut
There's
the fuck
so
up. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it,
I'm
and he
sure
knows I don't want to fucking hear it.
Even know. We're friends with a hoarder, actually, who lives up the hill.
Yeah.
And he's given us some old
An
scientific equipment.
Science professor.
He's a collector. Absolutely. He is. This
well,
man is.
Look, the only yes. reason
he
that
got
we call
a hoarder by his family.
Look, the only reason that we call Charlie
right?
a hoarder. Well, I
want
to. I'm trying to talk to Charlie then. If you,
but
if
he
wants to hear something,
he's talking right now.
God damn it, Charlie!
He was called a hoarder by his family.
That's
He doesn't want to be called a hoarder anymore. He wants to be called a collector.
Sure.
And he wants you to be designated as the person who reappropriates and appreciates his collection.
Yes.
Well, that's my main issue, is that I wasn't able to appreciate his collection when he was alive, because I didn't know that he was here. He was four blocks away from me, which is, I live four blocks from my parents right now, and that was...
You've been past this house 1,000 times as a kid.
That was far enough for me to not... Actually, I used to walk down this hill to get to my best friend's house every day
he
after
saw you
junior high. We'd walk down together, and I'd walk him to his house because he was a little pussy, and then I'd walk all the way to my house, you know, because that's what I would do, because I just liked having a friend. So I'm sure that I passed this place, but it never registered. As far as I knew, I was told that this...
Speak it up again.
Whoa, there's a whole shitload more of me talking over everybody. Even a ghost!
You even talk over the dead.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm so sorry for everybody that listens to this. I loved his reactions to himself. I think that was my favorite part.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if everybody could pick up on it, but he goes, oh, holy shit. And he was totally, like, smacking himself in the face and, like, pulling his hair back, like, whoa. Like, he was...
He was more blown away than we were, which I almost felt bad about after listening to this.
Yeah.
I feel like a big dick. But, like, his terminology that he says that that Charlie uses, like, cool and Twitter and...
I don't think he said. I think he was trying to translate for us. I don't think Charlie talked about Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I got from it.
Yeah, there's just like a lot of terms that I don't think were really around, and that threw me after I listened to it the second time.
Yeah. I also got yelled at for using the word hoarder when he clearly said it earlier. And, you know, I'm not trying to be derogatory or anything, you know, obviously, but like... I don't know if that was the kid jumping on me or what, or he thought Charlie, whatever.
I don't know. He seemed to have an issue with you, and I think we're going to hear that a little bit later on.
I can't tell which one of them had an issue with me, but I kind of get fucked around in this whole thing.
Yeah. You don't hear it later, but after the initial interview, I think I get pretty close to punching the kid in the face.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't record that for you, so I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
But yeah, again, I'm doing it again anyway, but I do talk about myself quite a lot.
You do. I mean, it's your thing.
I don't know what else to do. I mean, what the fuck do I talk about?
I don't know. It kind of made sense, though, with what he was saying about how you and Charlie are, like, polar. Not.
Yeah, no, he didn't want to say polar opposites. He kept saying...
Two sides of the same coin or whatever.
Yeah.
He probably liked, too, that you were talking over him, because you do that to living people and your own friends. So, you know, you came right in, like... talking to him for the first time.
I hope that's
buddies.
An endearing thing about
I
me.
I hope so. I hope he didn't think you were an asshole.
No, I'm talking about
God,
our
I hope
friends.
This ghost likes me.
I'm talking about our friends and you. I hope you guys all put up with me.
Oh, we do fine.
I stay pretty quiet for a lot. Anyway, so that's, you know, that's just me being full of myself as always and talking about that stuff. But next up, we actually cut out a little section. It was about a good friend of ours that had passed away. So I'm going to leave that out.
It's not extremely relevant to the Charlie story, but just out of respect, we said some stuff that was kind of personal. And
So we're just going to leave that where it is. Up next is another little chunk of channeling. So let's see what that is. I don't know what the hell that is.
Let's
enjoy.
Find out.
My job. I
no,
don't
no,
bullshit.
No,
like, I'm a director.
It is so not.
Fuck what you heard. Like this
I've
is...
been told that you're a director. I don't know anything
I'll show
about
you.
You
my demo reel.
Okay.
But I won't because people might like Google search to find out who I am, and I don't want anyone to know who this crazy guy who communicates with fucking Charlie the fucking. Sorry, Charlie.
If I'm
Charlie the loner, but he didn't like.
Yeah.
Me.
No. If I'm not completely, you know, on the fence, then what's the point of me doing this podcast, though? You know what I mean?
We got our skeptic here, though, Anton.
Yes.
But I'm on the fence. I'm not skeptic. I'm just on the fence. This is my house. I have to stay on the fence. I'm impartial.
But that's why he's the one, you know, for Charlie. And can you describe what you described as Charlie and Anton being exact opposites
just,
and
look,
why he is meant
here's,
for this?
Here's what I really want to know. I don't
this
give
is
a
important.
Shit. I don't give a shit. Listen.
Charlie's
stop.
Calling you an asshole. You're an asshole.
Oh, I don't give
asshole.
A shit. Asshole. Oh, Charlie's a fucking asshole.
Fuck you.
Listen.
Fuck you.
Listen.
Fuck you.
Let
stop.
Them talk.
Stop doing that. Okay, I'm turning off your mic. There we go. The only thing that I want Charlie to, that I want to know, that I want to hear about, that I want to talk about... is how do I talk to Charlie if you're not here? But can I say something? I don't have to get a response, but can I say something to Charlie?
Will he understand?
Can I write it somewhere? Will he pick it up?
Am I back on? Am I allowed to talk?
Yes, you're
now?
Back on.
Okay, thank you, Anton.
Yeah.
No. You are so... polar opposite to you were so complimentary And I, like, I was just told to not say polar opposite. I was told to say complimentary.
Yes. Thank
you. Complimentary is the word to make it. You are the, exactly, yin to his yang.
Yeah.
You
nice.
Said that exactly as he said that in my head, Corey, the
wow.
skeptic. You just
great
said
job, Corey, the
what
skeptic.
Charlie said. You're a fucking, you are a savant and an idiot savant at that. but you cannot communicate with him. You can never have, he, you are a black hole to him.
But I just want to be able to, like, give him reassurances every
you
once
can
in a while,
if there's anyone that comes through here that is like me.
Yeah.
They can communicate with him on that.
Oh, that cut off abruptly.
Did a bit.
Something good has to come after that. I'm sure. Let's all wait. Oh. Go grab some hot chocolate and wait by the fire. And let's... Anyway, fuck. What the fuck am I saying? Oh. Okay, that's the point of the night when you can tell that we are getting fairly drunk.
Yeah.
Much like right now.
Hey,
we need another drink very soon. You got a little taste of me playing God by turning down his microphone because fuck that shit. Nobody talks over me. Even ghosts, again.
I honestly thought at that point, if there is some kind of conclusive proof of life after death and ghosts and all that, that it's probably a lot less mysterious and creepy than we think it is. It's not a lot of, you know, doomed great-great aunts that fell to their death and
ooh, they threw that
my
book
death.
They threw that book to the floor because they hate that book and it means something.
No, they're going to go like, hey, dude, you're an asshole. Just this, they're not, you know, the souls of... They're just people that happen to be dead and they're talking to you like people. It's a lot more regular than everybody hoped, probably. That's kind
of
sad.
Oh, I wrote Y on this piece of paper.
Why did you write Y?
I don't know. Mm. God damn it.
We're a
mess. I think I wrote Y because I was thinking that...
Let's get it out. Come on.
Come on.
Good evening. We apologize for interrupting this edition of the Trendlecast to bring you a breaking news bulletin. I'm your announcer, the Trendle Manor Senior News Anchor. We now return you to the Trendlecast, already in progress.
That it is giving the why. Oh, the why of why me and Charlie can't talk to each other.
Yes.
I think that was in there. I think they touched on that before, but he gave a little bit more of that this time. And it's odd how he puts it on us being two sides of the same coin. At some point, he says that. Might not have been this last one. I wasn't listening too well. I almost got that because, you know, we have, in a way, we're very similar, but then, you know, personality-wise, I feel like we were probably fairly different, you know?
It seems that way, and well, especially with the whole life's work situation where, you know, he collected things and they didn't have any kind of organization, and people will say it was a hoarding situation, but you collect a lot of things, but they are completely well-organized and loved and taken care of, so yeah. That's sort of righting all the wrongs of what he did. So, I mean, it makes sense.
That's why if this was real or if this was fake, it gave us a good sense, because we were hoping that, you know, what we've been saying forever is, if there are ghosts at the manor, they either like what we're doing or they're terrified of us. Because when I first moved in, I felt some weird shit. And as the longer I lived here, and especially after Velda moved in, she stirred some stuff up, but then it died down quite easily.
And I never really felt anything at all. I mean, I can't honestly say that I have.
Right. But, you know, so it made us feel kind of good talking to this dude. At least, because it was solidifying a lot of ideas that we had, so we were hoping, you know, that other people would get this touching thing. And next week, we're actually going to talk to, we played this horrible recording for a whole group of our friends.
All different paranormal-ish backgrounds, so their opinions are really interesting too, to hear,
yeah.
I think.
So that'll be on next week's, but this this whole thing was way too long to cram it all together.
Yeah.
So we're going to split this into two. So keep mind of what our mystery guest, mystery date, was saying for next week. And we've got some more left. There's a good chunk left. We're going to be listening to this, and I might be splitting it live. So let's see what we got out of this. I'm not even sure, but this is when it gets really drunk.
It's starting to get intense.
Really strange.
If you can pay attention to the back and forth, it was like a tennis match.
And really full of misplaced crying. So here we go. Huh.
No, what about me? Because you said I'm not on the same complimentary yin and yang level. Because I don't know. I say things to him in my head.
Do you have thick
skin? Yeah.
Charlie thinks you're annoying as fuck. Charlie doesn't like your voice. And
I do have a weird voice.
When you give tours.
Yeah.
Your voice...
I'm about to beat the fuck out of you and Charlie.
Charlie's
just throwing it out
this
there.
Is me.
Okay. Hey, listen.
Just throwing it out
I
there.
Would say the same about myself.
No.
But he appreciates
bullshit.
What you do for the house.
Cool.
Fuck off, Charlie.
When you do tours, he's annoyed.
Yeah. Because I'm bringing people in?
It's your voice.
I have a weird voice. I don't like my voice either.
Your voice reminds him of someone.
Different.
Well, that's, you know, maybe it's somebody he knew. I don't like my voice either. I'm sorry.
Stop telling her these things. Stop telling her these things. I'm going to hit you.
You have one word that you say that's like your catchphrase.
Not really. Not that I can think of.
There's something about you that annoys me. That's why when I was telling you to give the tour downstairs, I was like, it has to be Anton.
I figured there was something.
As soon as you started talking, he's like, fucking make it stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Maybe he's not good with women.
I like your voice. I think your voice is awesome.
Thank you.
You're good to go on your voice.
Maybe
Charlie, I have a strange voice, though.
Maybe Charlie is not good with women.
Charlie is not good with women.
I know that for a fact.
Charlie's sad right now.
Well, tell him to stop making fun of my girl.
It's not
Charlie loves
fun.
Your girl. Charlie loves your girl.
I do a good thing. I just
he's just annoyed by her way of touring because it's too saccharine sweet.
It
he
is very
saccharine
sweet.
Sweet.
Yes, it is.
It is. That is my nature. We always have this good cop,
you
bad
act
cop
like
thing.
You like people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times
you
I don't.
Does.
You hate people generally.
You know how
you're
yeah.
fake to people.
I hate. I shouldn't be fucking fake. You know. I shouldn't be.
Remember when you were doing Costume World? You were.
I have a telephone voice when I need to be nice to people. Yeah,
but, you know, but you're not.
Should I just be an asshole to people when they come? Because sometimes people will come and
he
leave no money.
Fake. He says when people come in, you act like you like them, and he says 9 times out of 10 you're pissed off at people in your house.
It's true.
He says,
Hold on. Before you guys go into anything, he says that there has been more fights about people coming into your guys' house between you and him than almost anything else that you guys fight about. It's the annoying aspect of just people coming into your house.
No, it's true.
Just be real.
Yeah.
He's saying it in a different way, but be real. Like, I'm kind of translating that into
yeah.
a part, like,
that's what I need
saying,
to hear.
Be cool.
Yeah.
Be yourself. Like, stop acting like you want people in your house, because the people that he's bringing here for you, he's bringing everyone that comes into this house here for you.
Yeah.
They're going to appreciate regardless, and you don't have to put on a show for them.
Charlie will know that.
Charlie says you have a drinking problem.
I do. It's from. It's only because I'm slurring.
Charlie says that's a problem for the house.
No, it's okay.
You can edit that out if you want to, but he just screamed that.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
I may or may not corroborate that.
But here,
and I'm sorry for that. Like me is the person that's speaking
right
now.
You're the vessel
right
now.
Would never call someone else.
It's not of this dude we just met that we think is cool.
I've got a marijuana problem. Like, I've got a really bad.
Everyone's got problems.
I spend more than my rent a month in marijuana.
That's
so I'm no one to speak on someone's
insane.
Problem.
It's
most of our booze is free,
you,
so we're okay.
Can I just say?
But here's the fucking key to that puzzle. I don't pay rent.
It's so funny that Charlie says that about me, because there are so many times where I'll be hungover having to give a tour or do like 8 of them a fucking day when I could.
Well,
be
she'll
so
come
much...
upstairs. She'll
baby,
she'll finish the
crying.
Tour.
I hate Fish babies crying.
Off. We're among friends.
There are some young kids that we've connected with very deeply. There's a 5-year-old who came for a tour who came back to give me Halloween presents because he connected with me so much. And him and his twin brother
started with an A.
Maxton was his name. But I don't remember the other kid's name, his brother, but they're old souls.
Whose urn is it?
Who's up above you, sweetie? Is that somebody in that urn? On the shelf above you? Or is that just an urn?
Oh, that one's empty.
Okay, there's no one in there.
Here. We have an urn downstairs. Oh, that 4 minute chunk was really chock full of some garbage.
Oh, got intense there.
Yeah, you know, the fact that he was, we finally got to talk about how Charlie felt about Velda.
Yeah.
And I didn't like any of the words.
Yeah, you know, like I said
before. I
want
to call him exorcist.
Oh, no.
Just for you, baby.
It's no, I don't want that. I kind of took my show notes very well, actually. But and I did change my approach to Tours after I heard this, to be honest, because I did wonder about the fake thing. I know people don't like to live in the 1930s sideshow era and be talked at. Like, they don't want to hear a fake story about a thing. They want to hear, hey, dug this out of the garbage and it's just fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, but otherwise they're just coming here to some person's house. I feel like a little bit of showmanship should be part of what
I agree that it should, and I still do have a bit of showmanship.
They're coming for a party, that's different. But
like, for example, one of the ray guns, like, they would probably want to hear the story that we make up about it, but they would also want to hear the fact that it's cool that we make something out of nothing and that we're artists and we dig things out of the trash and then
you've been doing that more and more.
I do both, yes. Well, that's what I'm saying.
You
after
keep
this,
showing
I
people
did.
Our goddamn laboratoire.
Because that is cool, and people do react well to it. So maybe he had some good advice there. But some of the things that this kid said, I do not hate 90% of the people that come to this house. And mine and Anton's majority of our fights are not about how I hate people. Like, he really harped
mostly about her being clumsy.
And I don't have a catchphrase that I keep annoying. I keep repeating on tours. I legitimately cannot think of one. So he was just throwing some shit out there, I think, at that point.
Yeah, that was fun. I like... I like at the end when we talk about the urn that has nobody in it, because then it made me think, oh, so he thinks that he's going to get us again and say, oh, because I felt somebody watching us.
Well,
the urn is a piece of fucking garbage from India that was that I got from some.
It was never a funerary urn.
No,
this one in here, and then
it doesn't lock.
When I was talking about that kid too, and
yeah, half the people in the 70s had
those urns. Did his name start with an A?
Oh yeah,
like that was complete
very well
TV
done,
psychic
yeah.
classic shit. So things started to get a little bit dodgy here.
Yeah, and you don't realize that until you listen back. I mean, obviously not everybody gets to delve into listening and re-listening to something the way that we're able to do. Yeah. So and it was fun at the time, and it was a lot more emotional at the time as well.
I kept wishing that we weren't so drunk and all excited, because I kept wanting to do this and pause and be like, all right, let's examine the thing that you just said, because there was just overlap.
Yeah, but that's why we recorded it,
right?
Because it doesn't matter, we can go back over it, and that is how terrible that we are.
Yeah. We also cut out some stuff about how much I hate people, which is not true.
Yeah, it's so not true.
It was dumb.
I think it was just placating.
Dumb line of conversation.
Yeah. And then he touched on your voice, which I don't understand.
I hate that I took it in stride so much. Like, I should have been more pissed off.
Yeah.
I don't know. If the kid was saying that and being a dick, then I would have called him out for being a dick. But if a ghost says it, I'm more willing to listen to the dead than the living, apparently.
Yeah, I just kept feeling like that was an excuse for him to be a dick.
Maybe.
So that's why I was like, I don't care. Shut up. You know, that's why I wasn't listening to a lot of it. But anyway, so let's continue and see what else we got.
You're cool. You're cool. He likes you. You had realism to this. Like,
he hates us, and he likes the quiet guy.
He loves you guys. He loves you guys, but he has suggestions on how you guys can do this better.
Well,
right. Everybody has
suggestions.
Flaws. I'm open.
You let go of... All right.
Mm-hmm.
You use drinking as a crutch to escape something in your life.
Mm-hmm.
There is something in your life that you are drinking away. And it's something very specific. We don't need to get into this.
No, it's not.
We don't need to get into this. It's very specific that we don't need to get into this.
Well, you can.
But
because
you don't. You're being told you don't need to drink. It's cool. Like, I was
social anxiety.
I was just told to tell you it's cool.
Okay.
It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
Okay.
It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
I like drinking, though.
Huh? Well.
It's cool. It's cool. You don't need the drink. Like, drink when you enjoy it, but don't drink to...
Excess.
No, don't drink to cure anything.
Oh, yeah.
And second, you see drinking as a cure for something, you need to stop. Drink to have fun.
Okay.
Cool.
Have fun and bring positive energy. bring happiness
always
to the
positive self. Energy.
Well, I'm a very happy drunk when I drink.
Usually.
The, yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy drunk.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, usually. For tours and stuff. And for parties and stuff.
Oh, I guess it's sad.
It's, boner.
It's,
no, no, no. I can't get a boner.
No, no.
I've got this whiskey dick.
It's not that. It's not that.
Well, I can tell you it's not that because I have a full-fledged erection.
It's funny that Charlie said about me and being fake because there's definitely been tours
you're
where...
You're fake as fuck. You're fake
I
as
am.
Fuck. You're fake as fuck. You're fake as fuck.
I am, and I don't want to be.
I'm sorry.
Shut up, Charlie.
No,
nope.
Dude, I get it.
So shut up, Charlie.
No, don't
you
be sorry.
You're a great person, and I love you.
Don't
be so mean.
This guy that's
These
talking
are things
on
I need to hear.
Charlie
man.
Says you're fake as fuck.
He should not
I agree
be so
with
mean.
Him. I agree with him because there have been so many tours, and I wish you could have seen them, mm-hmm. where I was hungover... Or just not into it.
Oh,
I wished I was doing
just
anything
cancel.
Else.
Just cancel them.
Just like,
just no. cancel
I had just gone home from
Only
work and
do...
wanted to fucking go to sleep.
No.
And I talked to them and
Only
they're...
do the tours that you feel it in. The donations will be better.
I bet they will. And I,
Only
we should.
Do the tours where
we should
you
be
really
more discerning.
Feel the energy of the people coming in and you really connect with the people coming in.
Okay.
And the donations will be better and you will not incur a financial loss in any way, shape, and form
Good.
If you do this only when you were feeling that you were doing a service to other people.
Look, the only reason that she keeps doing tour, I don't care.
It's okay.
Listen,
that is very
you
valid.
You can't keep talking. You have to let me talk too. I know you're
valid.
Talking for Charlie. But
shut up, bitch.
But she
over there just shut your yap. Let him talk. Let Anton talk.
But we end up continuing the tours, whether we feel like it or not, because we feel like we owe it to society to just
yeah.
be open to people, you know, taking the tour. And they get out of what they get. And if they want, they can give us a buck or they can give us nothing. We don't really give a shit. What we want to do is we want to give them...
He likes material exchanges more than he does like cash exchanges.
We do, too.
So
cash
do we.
That's cooler.
Yeah, no,
it's
so,
so
do we.
Much cooler. Most
that's
of the cool
why we
shit
offer it.
That we've
that's
come by recently has been from other people.
Yeah.
Most of the things I show
well,
off to
most
people...
Most recently, someone offered you weed and you declined it.
That sounds like it makes sense. We don't normally smoke weed, so I mean, somebody probably
somebody
said that
somebody gave
to
us a groundhog, that was our most recent.
Someone gave you a groundhog?
Yeah, we have a dead
we
groundhog.
We have a freezer on the back porch full of stuff. No, I can't get over the fact, because there's definitely been people here where their back turned to me, and I've just been like, ugh, and let my fake smile fall.
And
I've done it, and I know how fake
that.
It is.
They're happy
no,
with
they
the
don't.
Tour.
Because I can act my voice. Movie. My
you
voice sounds happy, my face is not.
Anton, you were doing your job. You're doing everything perfectly.
Swell.
You're too fake.
Yeah.
But
that's
he
her job.
Like you because you're
that's
not,
her
you're
job.
Not putting on the right face. You're not appreciating
Look.
your job. Let me speak for Charlie real quick. I'm sorry.
Charlie's an antisocial old man.
He's
probably
he gets
an
antisocial
semi-
now.
That's
like,
the way. No, I don't hate him,
now.
But that you know he's coming from the position of a lot of people that I used to know.
Charlie's got to be cool, and he's like, "Hey,
and
I'm on a
cool
podcast."
Yeah. Well, guess what? Charlie doesn't understand that women aren't the enemy. And
what?
Charlie
it's not
needs
about
to
women.
Understand
no, no,
yes,
whoa,
I think
whoa,
it is.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
I
whoa, whoa,
think
whoa,
it is.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
because
whoa,
he thinks that
don't
I'm
take
cool.
take us the wrong way.
And he has issues with you for various fucking reasons.
No, I agree that I'm fake as fuck. I don't
yes,
like
she'll give tours and put on a happy
wrong
face
with that.
When I don't have one.
When she doesn't have a happy face. She's given tours right after you guys have had big arguments. And she should not have given that tour.
Definitely.
She did not bring the right energy to your place.
I don't
you
want negative
need,
energy here at all.
You guys need to really concentrate on the no. energy that you bring in and the energy that you manifest via
no,
your
tour.
We
need to get
guys.
Better. We need
Trundle
to get
break.
Better.
Holy
true.
Shit.
Trundle break. Drink it. Ah, oh, she's filling my thing. Take a second. The diva's got something to say.
I've been told to interject. Stop trying so hard.
We're having fun. I was
no,
having fun.
This is to you. Stop trying so hard.
I was having fun.
You have enough cool shit in here, and you don't need to go any further than what you have already.
That's so
you
mean.
You don't need lights. You don't need crazy shit. You don't need modern electronics. You don't need anything like that. What you have is enough to bring people here and to make you happy.
Mm.
So
I think that's fair.
If you have a tentative plan to put something in that is more modern or something like that, it's not necessary. You don't need to draw people here. Charlie has you on that. He
That's
will
cool.
bring you the best people, like the people that you want to be here. You
is
just
that
need.
Living people too?
Yes. Like he,
cool.
he's 100% in communication with people's spirits, and he brings people here for you
awesome.
Guys. Like everyone that comes through here, he is hand-selected for them to come through here. Specifically, he's mentioning the couple that you talked about from Nebraska earlier. He brought them here specifically, and he said that you should really recollect on that visit specifically, because there was something in that visit that would open your eyes to something.
The old fat couple, way back when.
Jeez, I don't even know if I remember.
Going to Boy Scout camp.
Oh, your favorite tour.
Yeah, my favorite tour.
Right. Yeah. That was like the Middle America classic 50s Americana tourist trap tour.
We had,
I wish we had their contact info.
We had a tour, and as far as I know, this is like the old Nickelodeon TV show Are You Afraid of the Dark? To me, it was like Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because there was little devil's jumping around.
He's got a stink bug.
Are you afraid of the dark?
I am. But yeah, that show, the tour was kind of like so TV perfect family.
Yeah.
That they were chunky. The mother and father were chunky. The kid was chunky. They all had glasses on.
Thank you for turning them off.
No, they were happy.
No, that's not me talking. All
right.
Yeah.
And
you
would
have said, Are You Afraid of the Dark was an awesome show.
And they had, they came here for a tour. And when they came here for a tour, it was my...
Thank you.
My idea that all of a sudden, like now we're officially a tourist trap.
That did make us seem more legitimate, yeah.
We're a tour... Well, we're a tourist trap. We're like, we're like television tourist trap. Where the quality of, people can come here, coming through the States for no apparent reason. They found out about you. They saw a billboard. They saw, nowadays they saw, a Twitter post or whatever the fuck they saw. And they decided we're going to stop in Pittsburgh because Trundle Manor is here. And they stopped here, and it was so invigorating and so amazing to us.
Every person that comes here
kept us going from now on. Here.
Every person.
Charlie brings people here for you.
Well, then Charlie's doing quite well, which is why
he's going out into the world, and he is...
Well, for that section, our AA sponsor chimed in. Charlie, apparently, being very concerned about us being drunks. That's a thing in the ghost world. They give a shit about you being drunk.
He got fatherly, maybe, or this kid was being a dick.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do think about drinking causing problems, but doesn't it always? But to us, we try to keep it at that weird, dichotomy of problems and debaucherous.
We're characters,
Right. You're allowed to drink when you're a character. Trundle break! anyway, but part of what he talked about was that, he was saying, don't do it. Do the tours.
Only if you feel it spiritually. And
yeah, if they feel good to you.
Cancel it if not.
The thing is, we don't do it for donations. The reason that we don't
we
cancel...
I'm no gold digger.
Yeah. You ain't no bro... Never mind. But the reason that we don't like to cancel tours is because it's for the people. It's not for us. If we cancel tours, it's usually a pretty dire straits that we have to cancel the tour. And I think it's just kind of a shitty way to be where, even if you don't feel good about the tour, you don't feel good about giving the tour, then you're depriving these people of something different. I mean, even if they're more quote unquote normal people.
It's something that they need to see, even more so if they are typical.
We're incredibly welcoming people.
And his whole thing of, don't do it if you don't feel it. Well, sometimes I literally don't have time to feel it because I walk up the hill on my way home from work, have 5 minutes to change, and then they're at the door. I don't have time to physically, spiritually interpret whether or not it's going to be a good tour or not. I know it's happening, so I do it.
Yeah.
The show must go on. We don't do it for donations. We never have.
It's just to further the weird, really. He talked a little bit about, I don't have to, you don't have to try so hard. You don't have to keep, making things and doing light. You have enough light. You have enough. He said all this stuff, but that's what I like to do. That's what Trundle Manor is. I'm not doing those lights for people. I'm doing them because I want it to look cool and I want to feel like I live in a damn movie. What I'm doing. I don't know. And if at this point, Charlie's the one who doesn't fucking know that at this point, or this kid doesn't, but But that really pisses me off because I'm doing this for me, and I just like the fact that other people can benefit from it.
And I don't know if this kid heard from his initial tour or his hanging out with us after the fact during the interview that we always say to people, we do this because we like it, and it doesn't matter if we give tours or whatever, like, the house would look this way either way. We don't do this necessarily to impress anybody. We do it because it pleases us, you know? We don't have a suggestion box, like, hey, put more speculums out or have less bears and top hats. Okay, let me change it. Like, we don't. So, I don't know.
Yeah, then it ended up being where it sounded like Charlie was taking our credit, you know?
For sending every single person to our door.
Every single person here. And that, you know, oh, that's cool. You know, you're dead. You could say that if you want to, if that makes you feel better. But, you know.
Everybody came here
because we gave a shit and they sensed our energy of giving a shit.
Here's why that doesn't ring a bell with me. Because and I don't know if we talk about it in here, but when you turned off the camera and the whole thing where the camera was a thing inhibiting Charlie from talking to spirits. Oh, this happened on the front porch. And the kid said, he said, I need to go outside for a minute to get away, presumably from Charlie and all the ghost stuff. So according to that logic, Charlie can't operate outside of our front door. But this whole thing where he goes out into the world, into the spirits of all of our friends and patrons and whatever to drive them here, like, that's a romantic thought, you know, but I just don't know how capable that is. Whatever.
I like the story aspect of it, and I like the thought was put into that. And that really did touch a chord with us, and it made us feel really good about, you know, Charlie, and about, you know, what we do. We like the idea that that there's something here that likes it, and there's something here that's giving tours when we're not giving tours. Yeah, I love that.
I love that. That's my favorite part about
it. I mean, you can write a whole book just based on the idea of a ghost giving tours after we give tours.
And that goes into a lot of theories I used to wonder about, too, as far as the afterlife goes. So
right. And, you know, I think that helps us through, and that's one of those faith-based things where we believe in this squirrely little guy who's, you know, doing cool shit in his time, and then coming here and telling us weird stuff. Or, you know, we choose to be completely skeptic and shun the whole idea. And
no, I can't do that.
I like to skirt the boundaries and just stay in the middle there. I mean, I know that it doesn't give anybody anywhere to go, but really, I can't discredit it, and I can't take it wholly. I mean, you can hear it in my voice when I'm talking to him. I don't necessarily believe him.
And I think the both of us go through the motions throughout that entire night. It's almost like the whole religious thing. Like, I don't have any proof that it's real, but I don't have any proof that it's not real. So either way, it's a fun thing to think about.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't want to make fun of God in case there is a hell.
Right.
I just don't want to live with God.
Because you don't know. Yeah.
It's like an ex, you know? You're like, yeah, you know, yeah, we used to fuck. And we used to hang out and go to the movies, but you also know all my credit card numbers, so I'm gonna try to be kind of nice to you for a while after we break up.
You never know.
Yeah, because who the hell knows? Maybe your ex is God, and that son of a bitch is gonna shove you right into a hole upside down with your feet in the air, being burned, and your face being frozen in the deep depths of the earth. Who knows?
May have gotten off topic.
Oh, I'm sorry. What the hell were we talking about?
Anyway, here's
the next section of this interview.
I have to interpret this.
Yes.
He's communicating with spirits within people to bring them here because the spirits are attached to items that you have here.
Yeah.
Either by direct association or by memory of the items. It's weird because I have to interpret something that like isn't really like. It's like.
I'm
a director.
Yeah. No. It's all right.
I don't do.
You're
this
doing good.
Shit.
Fuck. You're doing real good.
I have a guy on my shoulder right now that's telling me to tell you things. That's telling me to tell you to shut the fuck up. That you talk too much and you're too arrogant.
But I thought that's what Charlie liked about me.
Say to you right now that are so dickheaded. And I'm a
but
dickhead.
But I thought that's what Charlie liked about me. That I was different that from
about
him.
You. He loves that about you. And he think Charlie.
How am I supposed to shut up?
Charlie thinks you are the coolest person in the universe.
Yeah.
You are it. You are what Charlie wanted to be. You were the manifestation of everything that he wanted to do with his collection. but he did not have the mental capacity to do it.
Mm. He just likes to kill.
I'm listening.
He just likes to kill. That's what the kill that was. Pussy likes to kill. Oh, fuck yeah, pussy, kill it.
Good sign, bud.
But
that is
I'll let
so
you know
cool
that every
here.
Time you talk, he screams, "Shut the fuck up, I love you." Because, like, everything you're saying is reaffirming everything that he believes about you, because he's never got to interact with you until this point. Like, right. This is like, I am a conduit from you to him. And he's never got to see this person that brings all these
We've
awesome
never
people
had
to
that.
Give
in
him
the,
this purpose.
How many years have we lived here? You had the house since 07, so mm-hmm. many years. We've
like,
never
he's
had
never
a
got
conduit,
to, he's
ever.
Never got to meet Anton. He's
nope.
met you. You're fake.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
But
like,
these
I'm sorry.
Two I know
but
no,
like,
I get
you just
got
to quit that and, like, just be appreciative to everyone that comes in here.
Everybody I respect
Every
is not fake.
Here, if you pay attention to them, if you pay attention to the people that he's bringing here, you'll understand the reason why he's bringing them here.
Okay.
With you, you were the shit. You were everything that he expected you to be.
What?
And you are even more than that. Like, you are keeping him alive physically. Like, I am not this person to sit here and tell someone how awesome they are. But you are fucking awesome. Like, you are fucking awesome. Like, what? Like, I'm a diagnosed sociopath. I'm not empathic. I hate fucking people. I hate people.
Yeah.
I don't tear up. But you're awesome. What you're doing is amazing. You've saved thousands of people.
Jesus. That's so...
I am so completely important. Humbled to be in your presence right now. And that is not the Trundle Breaks talking. That is me telling you that what you have done was a service to thousands of people. And you need to just keep doing what you're doing. And you need to never, ever exploit profit. Because
Never have. Money's never been a thing for us.
No.
We have enough to survive. Even though we're overdrafting now,
it's whatever.
No reason
it's
to
temporary
put
shit.
That on other people. We're always going to be okay.
I have so many people right now in this room right now telling me thank you.
Thank you. It's overwhelming.
You helped so many people, babe.
I don't know what's fake or what's not or what's happening.
Dude, I don't cry. I don't fucking cry. I don't fucking cry. I don't cry at all. I've been through so much shit, I don't fucking cry.
Life.
I can't help it right now.
Has been.
They're so fucking appreciative of you, man.
For other people. But there's something that people don't understand and they see as a selfish endeavor. When I want you to promote Trundle Manor or be a part of what we do, or and when I draw you into the fold that I give you, well, there you have it. I guess we're just kind of not doing our job to some extent. There's something to be said about what a ghost tells you in your ear, or in someone else's ear in this case, about how you're running your tourist trap. So this is one of the reasons that Trundle Manor never really advertises itself as a ghost locale.
Oh, no, we would never. And that kind of goes along with the whole exploitation thing, too. Because we still don't really know.
No, and it's not we're not against ghosts or people that do that kind of thing. But the last thing that we want to do is mislead people and make them think that Trundle Manor is haunted because we're super positive about it.
I don't want some idiot with a camera and an EMF detector coming in and trying to channel spirits. You know, like, if any of this or even some of this is true, then Charlie's happy doing what he does and he's happy with what we do. And I'm not trying to fuck that up.
Yeah, our ghost is here for us and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever he ends up doing. So that was, it looks like you have some stuff written down here.
Oh, some good quotes. How Charlie thinks you're the coolest person in the universe. And he also says, shut the fuck up, I love you.
Yeah, and once again, he goes back into hating Velda for some reason.
You know, I'll be honest, the next, I took my show notes that day, like, oh, maybe I am too fake or too sweet or whatever. And the next day, I'm like, well, great, there's another man I can disappoint. Cool, I'm just stupid at what I fucking do. And I kind of got, like, kind of fucked up about it.
You didn't tell me that.
No, I said it the one time, but honestly, then I gave a tour pretty recently after that, and then it was fine. It went well. So, and I tried to be my authentic self and not do any sort of over showmanship stuff. And they did love it, and they did give a big donation. So, yeah. According to what he said, you know, I tried that as advice, and it worked out well.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you know, we're not about the donations. We're about, you know, people checking out Trundle Manor. Because like we always say, this place would be here whether you see it or not. There's always going to be a sustaining force, and our luck will always hold out. We like to say that at Trundle Manor because that keeps us going. But really, what it's all about is you guys, the Trundle Files, the people that are actually listening to Trundle Manor's podcast. And if there is a bit of showmanship, then... And you don't like it? Well, then you shouldn't be listening to podcasts. Or at least ours. I try. I really do.
We have a good time.
We do. So it's all about the Trundle Breaks, and it's all about Trundle Manor and what the fuck we're getting into at the time. Coming up, obviously, next week, we're going to be giving you the input from some of our guests that visited. We had what we like to consider a bit of a seance-y vibe that we were trying to create.
Yeah.
But what really happened was we got a bunch of friends drunk and started talking like idiots together. And I realized how bad this recording was. So you got to listen to the bad recording before they did. Well, after, but before we show you what they listened to.
Everybody gets to weigh in.
Everybody gets to weigh in. So send in your ideas and the things that you thought about our ghost, about Charlie, about the man who's apparently bringing every single person in the world to the house. And not me, you know, not me, obviously.
No, we're very curious to see what other people think of all this. Because, like I said, we still don't know what to make of it. And, you know.
We're a happy micro-skeptics. We stay skeptic until we see something of solid improval.
Yeah.
That's not a word, but you understand.
Improval.
There's been a lot of Trundle Breaks tonight. I think I already said that. But anyway, I think that was a pretty good representation of the things that we get day to day. You see, somebody came in. That was kind of cool.
You're right. That's a good representation of our crazy life. Like, out of nowhere, this ghost thing happens. We didn't wake up that day expecting any of that. We went to bed at 4 o'clock that next morning.
Yeah, I did not.
Not knowing what happened still.
Having to go to work the next day. But, you know, so I hope that you guys enjoy the glimpse into Trundle Manor's life. As always, I'm Mr. Arm. We're going to let the announcer get something out later. But I'm Mr. Arm, and
I'm Velda Von Minx.
Good evening. That gave me the shivers all the way down to my naughty bits. I guess we still don't have a concrete explanation for that scratching coming from under the stairs. It's been getting so loud lately, I can barely hear myself scream. Before you go, my little Trundle Files, here is the first story sent in to the Trundlecast about an experience at Trundle Manor. This was sent in by the father of Lake, our cover girl. His name is Mike. Mike writes, "Hey guys, me and my wife Sherry, along with my 24-year-old daughter, Lindsay, and 9-year-old daughter, Lake, and a few friends, came to Trundle Manor back in December.
We couldn't make the Halloween party, so we came for my birthday, which you guys made into a great party. You guys really had a blast with Lake. Since our visit, she has started her own display called Trundle Manor, Lake's Way, complete with a sign-in book. Anyway, our supernatural moment happened when Velda, Lake, and I were upstairs looking at your Legos. Velda and I were talking about how she had painted the walls in the hall, and when she pointed towards the wall, a large picture fell off the wall, slamming to the floor and scaring the hell out of us. It started a lot of talk about people who had lived in the house in the past. We had a great time, and Lake talks about your place almost every day. She wants to come back on her birthday in June, so I'll be calling soon. Thanks for having such a great place to experience and being such great people. Well, thank you for experiencing our great place, Mike. The energy must have been high that day that you were here. Our spirit doesn't usually mess with a collection like that. And Lake was a wonderful little girl. We're very happy to spread a little unusualness through her eyes. Now, don't forget to send in your stories, folks. I know there are a lot out there. I think we need a little trivia after that scare. Have at us, Velda, my dear.
Well, hello, Trundle Files. I hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast. And now for a bit of classic film trivia for those of you who choose to live in the movies like we do. Tonight's question is, in the film Meet Me in St. Louis, how did director Vincent Minnelli get child actress Margaret O'Brien to cry on cue when they filmed the scene where she smashes up the snowmen? Join us again next week for the answer. If you can wait that long, farewell, Trundle Files.
We'd like to thank Lake for being the pouty little dead girl for this week's cover, and her father, Mike, for sending in their story. She looks as confused by the outcome of this ghost hunt as we are. We'd also like to thank our ghost channeling guests and his assistant, and of course, Brian Vamp, for our intro music. Find him on ReverbNation.com/Brian Vamp. That's B-R-Y-A-N Vamp. Tune in for the next episode to hear what some of the Trundle crew has to say about this week's Trundlecast guest. And while you're waiting, visit TrundleManor.com, where you'll be able to see a list of all of our future events, like gallery shows and movie nights, or book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages to get a glimpse into the lives of its inhabitants. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into their search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at TrundleManor.com. We may even read them right here. Now pull your heads under your sheets and attempt to ignore the long bony fingers tugging at your nighties, because you'll want to get a good eternity slumber until the next Trundlecast.